This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 563, brought to you by Harry's. Get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last. Free shipping ends on December 9th, so act now. Make sure you enter iFanboy at checkout for $5 off. That's harrys.com, code iFanboy. And iFanboy listeners just like you.
Christmas time is here. Happiness and cheer. Fun for all that children call their favorite time of year. Snowflakes in the air.
Hello, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 563, the Giving Thanks edition. My name is Ron Richards, and I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
And Josh Flanagan is celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday in Kuala Lumpur. So we hope that he does not get arrested.
Right.
So there you go. He's also on assignment. Very, very important assignment in Kuala Lumpur. Just like Elvis. By the way, that took off way faster than I thought it would.
We can't drive it into the ground, though.
I know we can't. All right, so we are iFanboy, and we love comics. Every week we read a stack of comics, and one of us picks their favorite book that week and call it the pick of the week. Then we talk about that book, some other books. We talk about some other fun stuff. We hear from you, the listeners. We give out dumb superpowers to our patrons. We have a fun time. We have a lot to be thankful for this year, so we're gonna enjoy this, Connor. Let's make sure we enjoy it.
All right.
And in order to enjoy it, we want to warn you that we're going to talk about what happens in the comics. So there's going to be spoilers. So if you haven't read your comic books yet, you might want to press pause, come back after you read them, or just be warned that we might talk about your favorite comic book and tell you what happened. So exercise some caution on listening. This week, Connor, you had the pick.
And there was a couple of moments here where I was not sure the show was going to happen.
This is news to me.
these Thanksgiving shows are always tough because the books come out on Wednesday. That's usually when you're traveling somewhere and then you're with family members. You don't really have time to read. And anyone who was in the Patreon chat hangout this past week, knows that I hadn't read the books from 2 weeks ago when I was off the show. Yeah. And, of course, now in the new DC world, 2 weeks lines up with following 2 weeks, so I had a lot of double reads this week. Yeah. I had a lot of catching up to do.
And that's really whose fault is that?
Oh, my fault, totally. Yeah, and okay. I had about 30 books to read total. Ended up picking Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, number 9, Robert Venditti, Rafa Sandoval, and the reason being 8 and 9, having read them together, made me so happy. Once Starro and Brainiac showed up, I started basically cheering because the one thing we've talked about for years with Green Lantern is that all they do is fight the other Lantern Corps and nothing ever happens.
Right.
And here we finally have some other cosmic threats. You know, the Green Lanterns are fighting Starro. Great. Yeah. Wonderful. That's what I've been looking for basically since the Green Lantern, the Sinestro Corps War. Something else going on out there in the world other than the other other evil Lantern Corps. So
and the what seems like every issue gathering of Green Lanterns led by John Stewart going, come on, and they don't do anything.
Right. They're not very good.
They're not very good at all. Yeah.
But I'm just happy to spend time with these characters. And also, as we said a couple of issues ago, when it seemed like Hal Jordan sacrificed his life to stop Sinestro, his name's in the title, he's not dead. He's now, the only negative I have to say is about this book is that he is in the Emerald, what is it called?
The Emerald Space, or what is it? The Emerald Zone?
Emerald Space.
Yeah.
Which is very similar to Speed Force.
Yeah, very similar to the Phantom Zone. And very similar to...
basically, the Emerald Space is where Green Lanterns go when they die in the service of the Lantern. And in that space, he is talking and hanging out with Admin Sur. Of course, the Green Lantern who gave him his ring originally. And very much like when the Flash would go in and talk to other Flashes or Barry Allen back when he was dead. And it seemed very like, okay, are we all getting a special purgatory we get to go to when we die here?
Because that's great. Yeah, it's the Emerald Space.
Yeah, it's Emerald Space. It's okay because, you know, these are revolving doors for when characters die, they don't die, right? So what it's put them in a purgatory, and it's easy to pull them out again. It makes sense that way. It was a little like, so we're doing the Flash thing. Okay, fine, whatever. I moved on from that.
I thought that this issue not only had Starro and Brainiac and all that stuff, but and it had the Admin Sur reveal was very dramatic, and yes. And then as if one dramatic reveal wasn't enough, there's a big reveal at the end too.
Right, so you have the Green Lanterns book, which is about the two new Green Lanterns, and basically you have Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, which is about all of the other ones. So you've got Hal Jordan, you've got John Stewart, you've got Guy Gardner, and at the end we add in Kyle Rayner too, who is the White Lantern. I guess will be the one who gets Hal out of the Emerald Space. But
here's a question for you, Connor. Much like the Flash and Robbins, are there too many Green Lanterns?
No. Because they're a core.
They're core. But there's now we're up to Hal, John, Guy, Kyle, Simon, Jessica.
Okay, you're right. When you put all of them together.
We got six Earthers, right?
2814 is very well protected.
Well, a lot happens in 2814, that's for sure.
But I just love this book. It's this grand old space adventure. You're right. The most of the characters led by John Stewart are just constantly racing from one sector to the other, not really doing anything. But in the meantime, you have I thought Guy Gardner's been really fun.
Yep.
I liked Hal's one of my favorite characters, so I like him. I don't really like Kyle Rayner, but I haven't seen him in this White Lantern role, so I'm kind of interested what happens there. So there's a lot of really fun space adventure happening here, and what have we been saying for the last 5 years? Is basically, right. We just want fun space adventure out of the Green Lantern books, and this is what I'm finally getting again. And I'm happy. I haven't been, I haven't really read these books in a long time. So when they're good, I get really excited. And the Starro are creepy. The Starro have always been creepy. They have, they attach to your face like octopus, and that's a weird. It's a creepy image when you see whenever you see the crowd shot of everyone with the Starro on their face.
That's for sure. Yeah.
There's something very visceral about it, yeah. And they're cool because they're an old school villain. They were the first people that the Justice League ever fought. And there's a great variant cover this week by Kevin Nolan with the Starro on John Stewart.
Kevin Nolan's been doing he's been doing covers for DC and for Marvel because he's been doing those covers for Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
and it's making me really want a Kevin Nolan book, but that's not the point of this. But he's great.
No,
yeah.
But it's part of it. It's one of the variant covers. This was the 1-2 punch I had the most fun with this week amongst my 30 books. I read a lot of really great books this week, but when a Green Lantern book is good, I'm really happy. Also, it's not. We're going to talk about the Flash later, right? We'll get into it more then.
Yes.
But
yeah.
It's relatively stable on the art side.
Yeah.
There's a couple of artists working this particular series, but it doesn't feel as whiplashy in quality as the Flash book does, and that helps a lot, too. Rafa Sandoval's really
Yeah, and I mean, if anything, my criticism of these Green Lantern books has been the byproduct of not figuring out a pace with the double shipping, because right. this particular book, that's why I was surprised when I saw you posted the pic was this, and I was like, oh, really? Because I hadn't read it yet, but and then I went to read it, and then I was like, okay, I get it. But I feel as if Venditti's having a hard time with the twice a month shipping schedule, because this book, much like many of the other DC books, but this one more than any of them, I feel as if has been spinning its wheels a lot. You know, and we joke about the shot of the Green Lantern Corps flying through space with John leading them, but like the last like six issues have been just like, I feel like I've been reading the same issue over and over again. And like little incremental things happen. So this was great to see like a lot of stuff happen in this issue and push things forward. So yeah, it's definitely going in the right direction.
Who is this Green Lantern, or is it even a Green Lantern, the one who sends out the vibrations that defeats Starro?
I don't know. The blind one? He says his race are blind, but they hear things? That was really cool. That was very clever. And you know.
But I just noticed now even that he doesn't have a Green Lantern logo on his chest. He's got a Bell logo on his chest.
Oh, weird.
And he has his own little oath.
Yeah.
That ends with my beware my power, the F sharp bell, which is super cheesy, but whatever, it works. Is he a Green Lantern? Is this some other thing?
I assume he is. I assumed he was a Green Lantern that I just had never heard of, but
he gets to have his own logo?
Maybe he's his special power is branding.
Yeah, well, anyway, if you're a Green Lantern fan, I think between this book and Green Lanterns, it's a really good time to be a Green Lantern fan.
Yeah.
And I think this tier of DC books, your Green Lanterns, your Flashes, which wasn't strong even a year ago, are much stronger now.
Yeah,
I think DC's better for it.
I think they bolstered the lineup. I don't, you know, like even the newer, you know, I bring up the question as if there are too many Green Lanterns, but the Simon Jessica book is that's gotten better. You know, like that's good. You know, with the crazy, you know, the Phantom ring and that sort of stuff. So like,
yes.
I'm having fun reading the Green Lantern books, which is the whole point of it. So.
Another big release this week, AD After Death Book 1 from Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire out of Image Comics. And what is this?
It's funny because I wasn't sure if this counted for our format because this was thick. It was like, what, set, like 80 pages or something like that? Like it's a prestige size, you know.
Well, it's in magazine format.
Magazine format, like- yeah. And this is Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire's collaboration that was announced years ago. And it was, you know, and it's basically merging, because as we've talked about before, Scott Snyder, before he became King of Batman, was a prose writer, was, you know, short stories and novels and novelists and novellas and things like that. And so in this, he's writing a prose story that Lemire then is illustrating,
right.
and they're very good friends. So good collaboration, that sort of thing. But yeah, this is not, I mean, this reminds me every now and then, remember the Grant Morrison prose books that have came out over the years. This is just like that, where, you know,
one of those was Pick of the Week, one of the Batman ones.
I remember that one.
This is like the Venn diagram of a comic, a trade, and a magazine. And it's that spot in the middle.
Yeah.
Where you had long segments that were traditional comics, you know, word balloons, you know, action between panels, and then you had other sections that were just long pages of text with an illustration attached to it.
Yeah.
And what did you think of this?
Well, I thought it was good from what I read, because due to the holiday, I only got about a third of the way through it. and that's not because it's not any good. It's just because I was just up against the wall in terms of time.
Yeah, totally.
And I didn't know, like, I was like, are we going to do a Booksplode on this? Are we going to talk about it on the POW? Like, and then when you sent the rundown, I was like, okay, I guess we're talking about it. But, you know, I mean, like, I want to sit down in front of the fire this weekend and just read it like a book.
Well, it's interesting because it's called Book One. Book Two comes out next month, like a comic. So,
yeah, which is weird.
I guess we'll consider it a comic.
I would have spaced it out, but I understand why they're doing that, probably because they're releasing it like a periodical, and so like with retailers, they don't want to have the orders die. So yeah, so I guess they're just gonna put it all out. Because
the vast majority of this is written like your traditional comic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. The majority of this is prose. So
now the book is weird. I know you've only made it a third of the way through, but it's, I don't really even have a handle on what it is really it, which is tough to say after 80 pages. But the story, if you haven't read it, there's a kid, and we're starting in the future. It's a weird future where this guy has stolen a cow, and he's got a bunch of other stuff he's stolen in his garage. He works the fields. And then we flash back to him as a kid, and where his mother passed out, and she has a problem with that. And at some point in between these two times, because the kid grows up to be the guy who steals the cow, death is solved.
All right.
So there's no more death.
We don't have to worry about that anymore.
And so he's been living for hundreds of years. And now that your conception of time is different now if you don't die. So, like, you know, their work cycles are lasting decades. So he's on one shift for a couple of decades, and he switches to another one. So he tells his coworker, "I'll see you in 80 years or whatever." And that doesn't seem to be a big deal. It's more like "I'll see you in a month" or whatever. So it's I just don't. That's the setup. I don't know quite yet what the story that we're telling is yet. I don't know what we've met this guy. We see the world. He steals stuff. He's got a ham radio, but other than that, I don't know what the plot is. So that's the only downside I'd say to the book right now. It looks great. I love Lemire's art. You know, I like what Snyder writes, weird stuff.
Yeah, and Snyder is Snyder is a accomplished writer. So, like, I know whatever this is, it's going to be good. And I like the idea of putting something different out there, and, you know, that's a little more challenging than the average kind of thing. And, like, yeah, they could get together and do just a comic, which would be great. But, you know, doing something that's slightly different, slightly, you know, unlike anything else out there, I like that approach. And Scott Snyder has been on Twitter saying how this is deeply personal and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, you're getting a lot for your money's worth with this. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And so there you go. I'm looking forward to the next issue. $6 for a big oversized comic, which is not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. So it's the same size as when Criminal did the magazine edition, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's that size. Yeah. So,
Ron, how many times can you see Cyclops die?
I'm trying to be Zen, Connor. I'm trying to. I'm not on this weekend of giving thanks and family and be, you know, being thankful and life and all this stuff. I'm trying to find my good place. I'm trying to breathe. But holy crap, Death of X number 4 can go shove it. The whole thing can just go, just shove it. Go screw, as Josh would say. Yeah, so this is finally the last issue of the miniseries event. You see, even the dog doesn't like it. This is the last issue of the miniseries event written by Charles Soule and Jeff Lemire, with art by Aaron Cooter. This was supposed to be a weekly event to get this done, but did you notice how this issue didn't come out on time at all? So
yeah, and also how there's a second artist, and the second artist was not as good as Aaron Cooter.
That's for sure.
But I think his face was melty with this second artist.
Yeah, I know. So this is supposed to be the last issue, and it takes place in the past before all the crap with the Inhumans that we've been dealing with for the past year, and explain how we got there, and explain where Cyclops has been and what he did and all this sort of stuff. And it's all a scam. It's all, you know, so in the first issue of Death of X, they introduced that the Terrigen Mist Cloud, you know, hurts mutants and right. kills Jamie Madrox. And then this whole story has been telling what Cyclops and Emma and their team do to deal with it and how to fight back and all this stuff. And you get this idea of the Defiant Cyclops. But no, in this issue, we find out it was all Emma's machinations because Cyclops actually breathed the cloud in the first issue and died. It's the third X movie happening all over again. Cyclops dies off panel again.
and rather, there's no glory in his death. I mean, he's on a slab with all the pox that happens. I liked the bit with, so they found that mutant called Alchemy who can change things, and they basically find him. And go, you need to change the Terrigen Mist. Drop him into the mist. And he dies while also changing the mist, making it not harmful. So I thought that was a nice. I mean, that was sad because he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be an X-Men.
Yeah, they explained when the story started, there were two Terrigen Mist Clouds, and basically this story dealt with one of them, and that explains why there's another one going around the world, and not two. But so, yeah, I mean, that was cool. That was a good thing. You don't have to kill Cyclops in this. That did not. And the whole thing was that Emma made the point or said that, you know, like she turned Cyclops into an idea. And ideas
never die.
Ideas never die. Ideas will live. Yeah, fuck you. You know, like he's the heir apparent, Xavier's best student. He's the one who's, you know, like this is such an unceremonious, you know, way of dealing with a classic legendary character. They put him through the ringer in all these years. Scott Summers deserves way more than this. I'm sorry. And whether there's conspiracy at Marvel because Fox having the rights to the X-Men and they want the Inhumans to be the new, I don't give a shit. Cyclops is like 1963 frontline beginning of Marvel, created by Stan and Jack, deserves more.
I thought you'd be more upset about the kerning on his headstone.
Oh, don't get me started on that. I got to draw the line somewhere, Connor. I just got to.
It's just, that was the one I was like, who chiseled this? Because the letters are all off. There's no spacing standard here. It's just, it was rough.
It's just,
like, they did it really fast.
It was more than rough. It's just the whole thing. And the whole thing, I mean, and, you know, Charles Soule and Jeff, I'm a big Jeff Lemire fan. You know, I like, you know, a lot of what Charles Soule's done. This just screams, and I don't blame them for this. I want to be clear for it. Aaron Kuder, I'm a big fan of. This is completely editorial mandate, as far as I can tell. This is not some story that they had to tell. Like, they're mopping up the mess from the last Marvel Now launch, I never thought that you could say you've ruined the X-Men, but they have come as close as possible to ruin the X-Men.
Two questions. So, is there any mechanism within Marvel to wipe the slate clean and start over with Scott Summers? Or is it... Well, because DC just sort of reboots the stuff and you can start over. Marvel doesn't do it that often because they're still supposedly on the same timeline they've always been on. But other than Captain America, when they killed him in the 90s and then they just brought him back, we're like, ha-ha, forget about everything else you read before. I can't recall many instances in which Marvel has just done that with a character like Cyclops, who has been so... changed. Is there any way to redeem Cyclops other than to just go forward with the younger version?
Well, yeah, I think the obvious question is that, yeah, you like Cyclops, you got him in All New X-Men, and there it is. Now, the question is whether or not in modern Marvel versus in all of Marvel's history. In modern Marvel, I don't know. In all of Marvel's history, absolutely. Xavier died like 6 times and came back. You know what I mean? Like literally died, dead, Charles is gone, and oh no, he's back! He was with the Shi'ar, or like whatever, you know, there are so many things that they could do to do that. And so I'm hopeful that somebody can bring it back, you know, after time has passed and all this sort of stuff. And I thoroughly believe they will.
He's a Skrull.
Maybe.
Maybe he's been a Skrull this whole time.
That would explain the dumb mask. So it's comics. Anything can happen. So I know it's not the end of the world. I know it's just a character, but this is a real, real dark chapter. Like when the Doran King's the DK book, History of the X-Men and the Barnes & Noble is out, they're just going to skip over this part. So.
Well, it's kind of a big deal if you're a Cyclops fan, because when he has been this character for how many years?
Yeah.
For a long time, he's been this sort of villain character.
Right.
If you're you and you're a big and your Cyclops is your favorite character, you've been dealing with this for 5 years, at least.
Right.
So I think it's a big deal.
I think it's a big deal. I just hate it all. I'm trying to forget it. So.
So here's here's the real question: are you going to be reading Inhumans versus X-Men, which starts next week?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I want to see what happens to the other Cloud. Literally fighting a Cloud. Well, at least there was some action in Death of X, unlike Civil War II number 7, or Civil War II at all.
That's the other versus book.
Oh, come on.
So here, I liked the beginning in which Ulysses has his vision and he goes to the future old man Logan World. So they use the old man Logan art team.
That was cool. That was very cool. Yeah.
4 pages. I thought that was a nice little cold open.
Yeah.
So the big thing with Civil War II has been Ulysses. Oh, it continues past the cold open. But Ulysses has the vision of Spider-Man Miles Morales killing Steve Rogers on the Capitol steps, and so that's where we are now. Is that Miles for some reason goes to the Capitol steps to prove he won't do it, and then Captain America shows up to prove he won't do it. Yet, what's happened this entire series is everyone tries to prove these things won't happen, and they end up happening anyway.
Right.
So it seems like a really bad idea to go to the scene of the crime, but. Instead of Spider-Man killing Captain America, Captain Marvel shows up, and then Iron Man shows up, Tony Stark, and then Captain Marvel kills Tony Stark.
Now, did he kill? Did he actually die in this issue, or did the fight just start?
Well, if you look at the last page, she's blowing through his chest, and it's coming out the back.
That's very definitive.
If he's in there, he's dead.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And then the next.
Well, no, it doesn't. No. So they start fighting, and she charges up, and you see her punch him. And, oh, yeah, it is blowing through the back. Yeah, you're right. I see that detail. But it just ends on a cliffhanger, like, oh, what happened? So.
Even though we know it happened because the other books have already gone past
this. Exactly.
It just lacks all the weight. Do you remember how upsetting it was at the end of Civil War when Captain America died? And,
yeah.
Like, this just lacks any emotional weight. And it shows you how far around the bend we've gone in that, you know, when Captain America died, it was a big media story. The next couple of deaths past that, they were big media stories. And now it's like, well, you killed Tony Stark, big deal. Like, right. No one cares. It doesn't have any emotional impact. But
yeah.
I remember being very saddened that they killed Steve Rogers, even though I knew he would be back. It's still within the context of the story. It was saddened. Here, I don't even care.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well. It just shows you how far these events have gone down the drain.
Yeah.
We got one more issue, I guess, because we had to have another one.
Right. They needed another issue because Ben has figured out how to finish it better. Oh, God, I don't know. This has just been so taxing, and I'm glad it's almost over. But speaking of being over, ancillary book, Captain Marvel number 10. Remember how much promise Captain Marvel number 1 had?
Yeah, and I think one of the things we've talked about a lot, especially it's been one of Josh's big points, has been that this last year has been the de-evolution of Captain Marvel's character.
Yep.
And how much we all liked her before, and that when her book started off, it was really fun, and then Civil War happened, and she became super unlikable, and she just got more and more and more unlikable. And Captain Marvel, the series, has tried to make her more likable, but I don't think it's worked. I think it's actually worked in the opposite direction. By the end of this issue, I was just like, go away. Don't come back.
Well, and good thing, because the series is over.
Like, well, they're going to start a new
volume. Well, they'll start a new one, right? Yeah, but this is the last. But like, I just hate the potential of Captain Marvel leading S.W.O.R.D. and having Alpha Flight. Like, that was so much. It was great. It was, you know,
yeah.
And it just got so mired and bogged down. And even this, you know, this last story arc tied into Civil War too. In that, you know, there was a lot of suspicion. Ulysses saw something with that. What's her face from Aurora was going to do. And right. Made her, you know, and dissension in the Alpha Flight ranks. And turns out there was a sneaky villain hiding in their midst, completely unrelated to Civil War II at all. And just like was totally just like, it felt like, hey, we got one more issue, wrap it up. Right. I just hate when books start off strong and fall flat on their face. And that's what this has done. And this didn't make me feel endeared towards Captain Marvel. Didn't recover the problem that Josh has pointed out about her. It just screams of wasted potential.
Like, are we supposed to like her at the end? Like,
I don't know.
Do they think we're going to like her at the end? She's been the cause of all the problems in Civil War.
Right.
Even in the book, she doubles down on the fact that she was right about it. And then at the end, she gets the hero shot flying off, and you know, with the adoring crowd below her, and it says, "Go out there and earn it every day." And I'm like, I don't feel like happy about that. I don't like her anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same way we felt about Tony Stark and Reed Richards in the original Civil War, but worse, because at least their point had some merit to it.
Yeah.
Right away in Civil War II, we saw that there was no merit to the predictive justice thing. So it's like she just dug her heels in out of stubbornness. And kept digging her heels in despite all evidence to the contrary. And I'm not feel good about that.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to work really hard to redeem her later on.
And like, this issue even goes as far as having, you know, a crowd of people cheering for Carol outside the Triskelion and her wrestling with whether or not she should take their adulation, whatever. And like, that felt completely false and forced, you know, like there's nothing to cheer about here. It's like, it's unless something crazy happens in Civil War 2-8 that we don't know about that turns it around. But
right.
I don't think so. I think this is another case of, oh, we're telling you this is what it is. And you just got to believe it. And the
story's not earning that.
Exactly. Yeah. The emotional resonance is not being earned by the story at all. So,
and I felt weird. I mean, we're not talking about the book, but I felt weird reading the Ultimates 2 number one this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, again, that whole team broke up because of Civil War 2, and now they're back together.
Yep.
And it's just kind of like, eh.
Well, that said, I enjoyed the story. I know we're not now it's on the rundown, Connor. I enjoyed Travel Foreman's art on it, and Captain Marvel and T'Challa have a secret meeting at a diner, and undercover T'Challa was hysterical. I thought, I groaned at the Stranger Things reference.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, we always complain about that. I mean, but we're gonna know what Stranger Things is in 5 years, you know. But then we're gonna read this book in 5 years, so I don't know. Anyway, but what can you do?
Does T'Challa know? Why would he know? He's a little busy.
Exactly. Get off my lawn. All right. Well, moving on. We want to thank our sponsor. We want to thank Harry's for sponsoring this episode of iFanboy. Harry's is fantastic. Both you and I are loyal Harry's customers, right?
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, I was sitting around talking to someone last night, and he was also a Harry's customer, so we were just talking about
it. Just how great Harry's. They are. They're just wonderful. Yeah. And the great thing about Harry's, Connor, is that they really make the perfect gift. Men are very hard to shop for. I know my dad, I wrestle every year with what to get my father, and this year I think I'm going to get him a Harry set because it's every guy needs to shave, and Harry's is the perfect solution for that. So if you need to find that right gift for the guy in your life, it doesn't have to be impossible. You can find a great, thoughtful gift that's also useful and practical, and in fact, that's where Harry's comes in. I love shaving with Harry's because the razors are great. The design on the razors are excellent. They're affordable. The handle, even the little handle thing, the new handles with the grip is fantastic.
Great innovations. I mean, the one for me, it seems so simple, but it was the travel case for the head of the shaving.
Yes.
The actual blade. The travel case for the blade. I go on the road a lot, and prior to getting the travel case for the blade, I would just throw it in my bag, and I would all end up cutting something, or it would get snagged on my loofah or whatever. And now I take the head off, I put it in a travel thing, and I go. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I've actually cut my fingers because I stick my hand into my toiletry bag, and the open razors out there. It's and really for me, it's like honestly, I used to hate shaving because I hated spending tons of money on those dumb razors from the other brands. I hate, I would go a week and a half without shaving. I'd grow a little mini, and I prefer to be clean shaven at all times. But Harry's, I actually find myself looking forward to shaving, which I think is the singular greatest thing about Harry's is that they make shaving fun, effective, easy, and not something that I dread anymore. And so the best way that you can share this love is to give Harry's as a gift. They've got a great limited edition special offer. So if you're looking to do that gift shopping, start now. The holiday, Thanksgiving just happened. The holidays are in full bloom. Full bloom?
Sure.
So they've got a great holiday set that's available. It's got the Midnight Blue Chrome Razor Handle, which you can get engraved with the initials of the person you want to give them to. You get three of the blade cartridges that have five blades in each cartridge. They're German engineered. Harry's went to the source of the people who make the best blades, bought the factory, and now you get these awesome blades. Three of them are in the set. You also get the foaming shave gel, which I can't live without now. I love that.
I just finished using my last, I finished it and I was very sad. I had to go back to the cream, which is fine, but I like the shell a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And you also get a wonderful, beautifully designed gift box. And that is all just for $30 over at harrys.com. It's just totally affordable.
I actually gave my brother that set for Christmas, I think 2 years ago. They do these sets every year on the holidays. Yeah. And his name's Ian, so he has three letters in his name. So I put his name on the blade.
That's clever.
He went right into he loves it. He's also a Harry's customer.
Yeah.
I mean, so we wouldn't be talking about this much if we weren't legitimately Harry's fans. All three of us, Josh is too. I got my brother hooked on it. I mean, everyone I know. Mike Romo is a Harry's guy. I know everyone I know is on.
It's the kind of thing when you get a good product, you want to share it with people. So, so this limited edition holiday.
But you're right. This is a great set for someone. My brother's really hard to shop for.
Yeah.
And so I was like, perfect. It's a shaving set. He'll love it. He did. So
yeah. So this limited edition holiday set is called the Winter Winston set, and it's on harrys.com. You can find it on the website very easily. Just goes for $30. But they also, if someone in your life is already a Harry's customer, or maybe you want to try it, you haven't experienced the wonderfulness of Harry's yet. They've got handles and shaving sets that start just at $10. So you can try it for yourself, and see what we're talking about. And listen, iFanboy listeners, we want to take care of you. We worked it out with the Harry's folks. We've got a great deal for you. You get $5 off your order when you enter the code iFanboy at checkout. So if you're looking for that perfect gift, the Winter Winston set, it's $30 regularly. Take $5 off with code iFanboy. $25, boom. You've shopped for dad already. It's all done. But listen, free shipping is available, but it's going to end on December 9th. So you want to make your order now. So go to harrys.com. Order the Winter Winston limited edition holiday shave set while their supplies last. Order the the blades, the handles, the gel, all the other great products they've got, and make sure you use iFanboy code at checkout. Get $5 off. That's harrys.com, code iFanboy, and we thank them for their support and for making holiday shopping that much easier.
Yeah, I actually literally used Harry's blades 20 minutes before the show started.
Nice. What I love about it, and I said this the last time we talked about Harry's, is that your shaving needs are much different than mine.
Yeah. And my head is freshly smooth.
Smooth as a baby's butt. I love on the new blades, they've got that extra fifth blade, the edging blade on the backside of it. I use it for my sideburns. It's like, it's perfect. So, all right.
Let's talk about Chew number 60, which is the final issue of Chew, isn't it?
I think we give a slow clap to John Layman and Rob Guillory for finishing what might be one of the last great runs in comics. Right? Yes, I mean, 60 issues, same creative team. This is a marathon, and they did it. So congratulations.
What did you think of it?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it's always been great. I mean, it ended in perfect Chew fashion. You know, like it just, it's one of the special books in the vein of Preacher, Why the Last Man, those ones where you buy the first volume trade and you immediately go back to the store to get the second and third volume and just keep on reading all the way through. I thought it ended, you know, way in the future. I love the little carrot speeder bikes that Olive and her partner drive. But I it was great. I love this book, and it's going to be a special one for years. So
the Flash 11 we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you weren't on the show last week when we talked, or 2 weeks ago when we talked about the Flash number 10. And I really wanted to know what you thought of the fact that Shade is in it.
You know, he's a classic villain. It's hard. He's been so associated with not David Robinson. That's a basketball player, James Robinson.
Yeah.
For so long, and he wrote him in Starman. Then he did the Shade miniseries, which was really, really, really good. And so you're torn between should he only write him, or should you be that precious with the character and not allow him to pop up in other books. And I like it. I mean, he's not the version from the James Robinson books, but he's a good character.
Yeah.
And I think this is an interesting problem for the Flash to deal with.
Yeah. And the Shadelands is a neat, you know, kind of against Shadowlands, yeah, whatever. The little Speed Force, Emerald Zone, Phantom Zone, kind of, you know, like another dimension, you know, where like things don't behave the way they behave here on Earth. That's kind of cool. So, yeah.
It was fine. The problem with the Flash is that you don't know what you're going to get from one month to another with the art, or every 2 weeks you don't know which kind of art style you're going to get.
Yeah, and this was David Gianfelice, who I like.
Not Watanabe, like it says in the cover.
Yeah.
The only problem with him is that when Flash isn't moving and covered in lightning, you just see how dumb the costume looks.
Yeah, I know. It's a problem.
At least with the lightning, you can excuse it, but when he's just standing there and it's just all these weird yellow lines everywhere, it's just who thinks this is okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Moving on, Empress number 7 by Mark Miller, Stuart Immonen. This is the last issue of this arc or this little mini story. And I thought it ended much stronger than it did throughout the entire series.
I dropped off 3 or 4 issues ago.
Well, so this basically wrapped it up. Basically, the big, you know, the emperor, the villain, the queen's husband, you know, he finally tracks them down, and turns out the queen's badass and kicks his butt. And now they defeated him, and now they're free, and they can go off and have their space adventures. It ended me with like, oh man, I want to read more after 6 issues of like, I don't know if I like this.
So if there's more, you'll read more then.
The imminent art alone is worth it. But, I feel like it took them 7 issues to get to the point where the adventures and the stories can start.
Right.
So what are you going to do? But still, you know, so, and space George Lucas, so there you go.
So everything we said about Cage with an exclamation point number 1, I would just reinforce for Cage exclamation point number 2.
Holy cow, Cage number 2, like, I don't know how this is being published by Marvel. Like, I'm honestly baffled by this. And this issue had, he, this issue had Cage get exposed to some sort of hallucinogenic flower, and then we got like 4 or 5 full page, splash page, trippy 70s art. Like, these were amazing. I want posters of these.
Yeah, it's everything we said before. It's weird. It doesn't fit in Cage at all. It's bizarre, but it's really fun and inventive. And you're right. When it got all like 60s trippy, it got weird in a good way. So
in a great way.
Whatever.
Yeah. I don't know how this is happening, but I'm loving it. So yeah.
Even got get a little R. Crumb at the end there.
Yeah, it, yeah. So. It got a little R. Crumb. It was very 70s.
Yeah.
So
it was fun.
Yep.
Did you read Six Pack and Dog Welder Hard Traveling Heroes number 4?
I did not. I don't read these
books. And you haven't read any of these books, right? So this issue, we got the history of Dog Welder. And Dog Welder is, he also went into, not a dimension, but he went into the Dog Welder pantheon. Like, they're having a battle, and he gets pulled off into this pantheon where all the Dog Welders of history are honored. So the Dog Welders are going back. You see like an Old West Dog Welder and a World War One Dog Welder, and you know, going all the way back to ancient Egypt, where Dog Welder was born, was actually pretty clever. So the gods, the Egyptian gods, what are their names? I can't see their names. But anyway, so Anubis, which is the god with the dog head on a male body.
Yeah, Anubis.
Dog Welder created that god. He was told by the other gods to punish so Osiris and all those Egyptian gods. He was told to punish this man by welding a dog's head to his body, and he did that. He became the god Anubis, and so and then Anubis cursed the guy who did it. So then he became a dog welder, and in ancient Egypt, and then it went through all history. So it was totally weird, and. I don't know that I even am enjoying this miniseries, but I did enjoy this issue because of the look throughout history of all the different dog welders.
This is the times where I wish Dog Welder was real, because I'd like him to come over and deal with my sister's dog. but yeah, no,
if he was real, he would weld that dog to you.
Oh well, that I don't know. Do not want that, and I do not advocate any harm to animals. Animals are wonderful. I like the idea of Garth Ennis having fun building out this Dog Welder world. And again, how is that happening? How is this? Like, you know, I like how every now and then there's opportunity for these strange books to exist at Marvel and DC, so that's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I mean, it means they're not all so deadly serious all the time.
Yeah. All right, so I know Josh is in here, and I know, Connor, you're on Media Blackout, and you don't read the Star Wars comics, but a little trip to Star Wars Corner quickly. Star Wars Han Solo number 5 wrapped up this story arc, you know, written by Marjorie Liu with art by Mark Brooks. Much like Empress, this ended much stronger than I felt it was throughout the life of this arc, of this 5-issue story. I feel like this story went on maybe 1 issue too long. You had Han Solo and Chewie under the guise of this race by doing a rebel mission, and there was, you know, issue 3 and 4 had some wheel spinning to it. But issue 5 was strong. The race finished. It had a good ending. It had a, you know, it wrapped things up. And I like that they told a Han Solo story that was pilot based, that didn't go anywhere near the Kessel Run.
Nice.
And then it actually made me, then I was thinking, I went running after I read this comic, and I was like, you know, if this Han Solo movie comes, the Solo, if they do the Kessel Run, I'm going to be pissed. Like, I feel like it should be like the Wolverine, or like, just don't do it. Just let it be legend and let it go. Anyway, but... Well, that's another conversation. And then finally, Star Wars number 25, the 25th issue, wrapped up this great story arc by Jason Aaron with art by Jorge Molina. And this story arc, I think, has been my favorite story arc of the whole run. And this issue had a great backup by Chris Eliopoulos and Jordi Belair, which was fun too. A little R2 adventure, which is a nice little added bonus. So,
and so this book is continuing on, right? They're not ending Star Wars.
Yeah, no, this book is continuing. As far as I know, there's no plans to get rid of it, which they shouldn't, because Jason Aaron's on a roll with it, as far as I'm concerned. So.
Well, there you go. There's a little visit Star Wars Corner. I've done that in a while. So now we get to the patron section of the show, and that's where you, as a patron, if you're at patreon.com/fanboy, can help influence the content of the show. And every week, the patrons get to vote on a book that we talk about. This week, much to our delight and surprise, the patrons picked Superpowers number 1 by Franco and Art Balthazar, who have been doing these silly DC books now since Tiny Titans many years ago. And I'm just to reset, I'm on record as having totally blown it. I didn't like the first issue of Tiny Titans. I didn't get it. But I slowly fell back in love with what they were doing over the course of all their books. And now I was super excited to see this Superpowers book, which is using the old logo and iconography of the Superpowers line from the 80s when Ron and I were kids. And I loved that line of toys and comics. So Jack Kirby actually drew those comics.
I love those old cartoons and comics back in the day. And I like this because it wasn't Tiny Titans. It was actual Superman and Batman. But yeah. it was also like, all right, I've read, like, it's the same kind of jokes. But that right. said, they're always funny and I always enjoy them. So I don't know. I shouldn't expect anything different. You know, like, this is just fun. And this, honestly, these books are great to give the kids. These are great entry points to these characters. And as adults, we read them and we get the little jokes that they put in and the side jokes. But they work as just a simple one and done for anybody who wants to try a Superman comic or a Batman comic.
Yeah. I laughed legitimately at one of the jokes was when they're fighting Superman and Batman are fighting Brainiac. And Batman sends him an email with a kryptonite virus embedded yeah. in it. And yep. Superman says, a kryptonite email? And kryptonite encrypted email. And he says, how'd you do that? He goes, I'm Batman. And then he jumps off the ledge, lands in the flying bat wing that Alfred's flying while wearing pink sunglasses.
Right. And they happen to be on New Krypton up by the sun. So how did Alfred get there? Yeah, it was great.
It doesn't matter.
It was very
he just
funny.
Says, I'm Batman. And he jumps and he yep. in a very cool exit. And this is, I like Wonder Woman's bouffant 60s beehive.
Yep.
And
I like meanwhile in Gotham City, you know, like they use the elements, you know, of the superpowers world, but with their own irreverent humor. It's fun. So
these books are great. They're gorgeous, especially digitally. The colors, these are really primary color books, and the colors really pop.
Yep.
I'm looking forward. So this is one of six, and on the cover, on the alternate cover, you've got Martian Manhunter and Flash and Aquaman, and so I'm looking forward to all these characters showing up. And also, what's great about these books is that they don't necessarily have to adhere to how DC looks now, even though they draw Superman without the red tights over his pants.
Yeah.
You know, Martian Manhunter on the cover looks like Martian Manhunter. Flash looks like Flash. He doesn't have all the lines on him. So I'm looking forward to seeing all that stuff.
These are just timeless. They're just timeless. Yeah. And that's how they should be. I mean, if you ask me, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman should be done in a way, in a corner, not all the time, but in a corner. DC should always have timeless stories like these being put out for kids to pull them in.
They should always have quality all ages comics for kids.
Yeah.
With each of these, at least these three main characters.
And I'm glad that they're doing that, so.
So I'm looking forward to issue two. Yeah. So ratings, Ron.
Ratings. I'll give it a 4.
I give it a 5.
5. Wow. All right. Yeah. Good job. Are you gonna stick with it?
Yes.
I'm not. So.
Oh, interesting.
Well, maybe. I mean, I might revisit, but it's not like gonna be the top of my stack when it comes out. So.
Well, no, but
yeah.
still.
Yeah. All right. Well, so as you mentioned, all of our loyal patrons are the ones who voted to get that book to be discussed on the show. And if you are not a patron, you can go to patreon.com/ifanboy where you can sign up to become one. And when you do become a patron, you get if you sign up at the appropriate level, you get the wonderful gift of being bestowed a dumb superpower. Or not dumb, you know, sometimes ineffectual, sometimes effective superpower.
You never know. It's a roll of the dice.
Yeah, exactly. So this week we're going to start things off by thanking Terrence Ferguson for supporting iFanboy. And his superpower is he always has a tissue. It's kind of like sleight of hand magician where you're just like, you have to sneeze or something like that. Boom, out of his cuff, there's a tissue. There you go.
I would love him to be my sidekick because as someone with really bad allergies, I'm constantly searching for tissues desperately.
Yeah,
so.
No, exactly. He's got you covered, Connor. So, yeah.
So what if he's naked?
Poof, tissue.
Tissue. So does he
poof, tissue.
Have it on him or is it like he conjures it up?
They conjure up, kind of, you know, like they just appear, you know, they come out of his wrist, kind of like webbing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. I don't know if there's like, I don't mean like there's a... Or we're not getting to an organic webbing situation here, people.
Right.
It's just like they come out and they're in his hand. It's like, yeah. So there you go.
So are these any kind of tissues? Can you do different kinds? Is it they have aloe? Are these the cool ones from like? Or what are we talking about?
Oh, we got multiple ply for sure. I don't know if there's any. I mean, there's natural, you know, oils and things like that in there. There's no, you know, kind of not man made chemicals or anything like that. But they're very soft tissues. They're very soft.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a very useful power for me, Terrence Ferguson. So we're going to thank Sean Patton. And Sean he can always tell you which plants are best to grow in any given spot.
Wow. Well, now does he? Is that that's just knowledge?
No, he just knows.
Okay.
He just knows, like, this particular angle of the sun. So this is the soil. This is the climate. He knows. He can pick you exactly the plant. He's never studied it. He's never gone to horticulture school.
Wow. Okay. So
he failed earth science in high school, but he just knows. Like, if he were to walk out on my balcony, he'd be like, "I understand why your plants keep dying. You need this kind of plant because there's not a lot of sun back here." He just knows.
He knows. You're gonna want to go with a perennial here. You want to get some annuals over there. We got some great morning glories. Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah. So
the thing about Sean Patton, beautiful backyard.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the best.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, better Homes and Gardens wants to photograph it all the time. He says no because he's modest.
All right, so Alex Howard, we want to thank for supporting the show as a patron. And Alex Howard has the really useful around the home power of that he can hang a painting or a picture and have it be absolutely level without ever checking. Like, he's got innate leveling ability.
What about so it's innate leveling.
It's innate leveling that I'm applying here to photos, but he's good for wallpaper, hanging drywall, doing any sort of, you know, anything that you need to level something, he's got it.
So it's not like he can space them out perfectly. It's only leveling.
It's only leveling. Yeah, no. I mean, the arrangement is up. The arrangement is up to you or him or whomever he's helping. But he can tell you. He's like, hang on, let me get up. Boof, there it's level. So
perfect.
Yep.
That's handy.
That's good. It is.
Andrew Marshall. Andrew can quote the original Point Break film perfectly. However, he's never seen it. Has no desire to ever see it.
So how does he know it?
It's in his brain. He can quote it in any situation. He's got the proper Point Break quote. You know. In fact, he's only kind of interested in seeing the remake. He doesn't want to see the original.
He's only interested in the remake. So what if he was born in the 50s?
He just knew it. This was coming, and then some finally came out, and he's like, "Oh, that's what this is."
That's a very specific. I don't know if that's a power.
It could be a curse. We've said often that these powers could also be curses.
It'd be great if, like, that's the only thing he could say. Like, he could only respond.
He always speaks in power Point Break.
He could only respond as, like, he just calls you Bodhi all the time.
Well, that's an interesting wrinkle on it. Maybe he only can talk about it.
Yeah, he can only talk in Point Break.
There you go. Rod has defined it. He can only talk in Point Break quotes.
I am an FBI agent. Bodhi.
I know.
Oh, man. I wish I knew some Bodhi quotes. Like some Zen surfing quotes or whatever. Oh, God. All right.
There you go. If you want to dump superpower, go to patreon.com/ifanboy. And that's where you can help support the show. You can give it a certain level and you get your own dumb power.
Yeah.
And we thank everyone who does that. These are all given out of love.
So much love. So much love.
Also, let's talk about how you can support the show real quick. ifanboy.com/support. If in addition to going to patreon.com/ifanboy, there you can find our Amazon link. And that's a very important link for your holiday time. So we're now past Thanksgiving in America. We're coming up on Christmas. It's coming around the corner real fast. And people are doing their holiday shopping more and more online. And if you can help us out by doing it via our Amazon link, in fact, if you want to not go to ifanboy.com/support, you just want to make it your bookmark Amazon link, that'd be even better. We appreciate that. We always see a big increase in the use of the link around the holidays. We thank everyone who does their holiday shopping via Amazon through our link, and it really does help keep the show going. You guys have no idea. So we really appreciate that. Also on that page, you can find a direct donation link for PayPal if you don't want to become a patron. Or use the Amazon link, or you use someone else's Amazon link. You just want to throw us a couple bucks at the end of the year. Say thanks for all the content. You can also just directly donate there via PayPal. If you're that mythical, insane billionaire that we've been waiting for our whole lives,
eccentric millionaire, we're our arms are open to you.
It's the end of the year. Maybe you need to get rid of some cash for tax purposes. Yep. We accept that also. But
listen,
donation via PayPal.
I don't want to say that iFanboy is the perfect money laundering operation, but...
In fact, I definitely don't want to say that.
So the mafia does not exist, so...
So if you go to ifanboy.com/support, that's where you can find the Amazon link, that's where you can find the PayPal donation button, and you also patreon.com/ifanboy. Those are all the ways you can help our show every week. So thank you very much. We do appreciate it, and it does help keep it going. It's been another year, another great year for iFanboy, we think, and it's been directly related to you guys helping us out.
Yes, we thank everybody for their support. You are awesome. On to your questions. And we love getting questions from you all because you are awesome, as I said. And Brian K. from Minneapolis writes in and says, with the recent releases of books such as Black, The Skeptics, Kim and Kim, and others, it's starting to bother me that Black Mask Studios' past releases seemingly are no longer being released. Whatever happened to Transference, X'd, Young Terrorist, and Clandestino? I haven't seen a new issue for those or for many, many months, if not more than a year. What's the deal? Have they just given up on those books, or is their business plan just to release one or two issues then have everyone hanging? Any insight would be appreciated. Sincerely, a waning Black Mask fan. And I share your frustration. This is the challenge of a independent comic book publisher. A small independent, you know, like their operation is very small.
And we don't have specific insight into this situation. What we do have insight into is the general difficulty of being an independent comic publisher.
Exactly. And actually, what I wanted to pull up, and I'm doing it right now, if you can bear with me for a moment, they did a one of the books that I was most excited about from Black Mask was Four Kids Walking to a Bank.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was Pick of the Week. It was great. And they actually did they sent an email to the media folks and all that sort of stuff about the third issue. And I believe, and I can't find it, I should have done this in advance, but I believe the press release or the press email said something along the lines of, the annoyingly delayed Four Kids number three, right? Like they know it, like that's, I think that might even be the worst aspect of it, is that they know that their books are lagging, and it's frustrating for everybody. And honestly, this reminds me a lot of Image about 10, 15 years ago.
Even less than that. When we were doing the show, I think prior to the latest Image boom, the most recent one where guys like Jason Aaron and Mark Miller,
Brian K. Vaughan,
John Rickman, Brian K. Vaughan, all those guys moved over from Marvel to Image. Prior to that, we used to talk all the time in the show about books that would come out and they would never see again. And there was one book that Josh made the pick. It was like a gangster book when there was one issue and then it got optioned for a movie and then never came out again.
Yeah, Pretty Baby Machine. Yeah,
Baby Machine. And that's the danger with getting hooked on these independent books, is that they may never come out again, or they may come out once a year, and it's hard. Prior to the latest boom of Image, I was reading hardly anything other than Marvel and DC in issue form, because I was like, you're not going to fool me again. I'll wait till you have enough for a collection. It's tough for the people making it because they're making the money. But at the same time, like as a fan, you're the one left in the lurch.
Yeah, I mean,
it's into a story.
The real changeover for Image, what happened was that they started, and I know this because when I worked there, whatever, but they started being able to pay, not pay the creators in advance, but give them an advance on their sales so that they had money to get by to actually do the book. Whereas Black Mask is very, very small. It's a very small operation. There's literally only just less than a handful of people working there. And the creators who are making those books are doing it out of love, and a lot of them have day jobs or need to pay their rent. And so it becomes hard to stay on schedule, and that's just that's the risk.
And it's tough. None of them like that. The publisher doesn't want to not put books out.
Right.
The creators don't want to not put books out. But you could say, like, okay, well, why don't you guys wait until you've got four in the can? But I'm sure that they need to get paid too by the sales of the issue. So it's there's no real good situation here, other than it's hard to be a fan of independent comics because they may never come out.
Yep, it's a risk. It's very frustrating. So I feel you, Brian, waning Black Mask fan. My advice would be wait for trades. I know it's tough, or just don't depend on it. Be thankful when the issue comes out and be excited for it when it does. But beyond that, you just gotta set your expectations low with the hopes that as they grow, they get their shipping schedule tighter. So
yeah.
So thanks for that email. You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Be sure to tell us your name, where you're from, enter code ifanboy, and how long you thought about it. And it's always great to hear from you. And you can also send in audio messages. If you want to send an MP3 or a WAV file of an old voicemail, we gladly play those. So,
So
we got some more podcasts coming up. It's pretty exciting.
Before we get to those, you announced a new podcast this week.
I did, yeah. So I launched a new podcast with our friend Tom Merritt, who does the Daily Tech News Show. We launched, it's called The Damn Fine Podcast, and it's all about Twin Peaks. You can go over to damnfinepodcast.com. The first episode came out right before Thanksgiving. It's up on iTunes and Pocket Cast and all the other places where you can listen, and Stitcher, all the other places where you can listen. And it's we're going to be talking about every episode of Twin Peaks leading up to the new series next year from Showtime. Very exciting. Connor, we're going to get you on the show, so that's going to be...
Maybe I'll appear on that show.
That'd be good, yeah. So, yeah, so go to damnfinepodcast.com if you're a Twin Peaks fan. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Every time I think about listening to or rewatching the show in anticipation of doing that show, the sun goes down and I get scared.
Yeah, well, as you should. It's been much less spooky, though. I'll tell you, it's been okay, Connor. To anybody who might ask the question, we're not analyzing it minute by minute like Goodfellas. We're just talking episode by episode, so it's not as nuanced, but yeah.
And that would take you 10 years.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So, so go to Damn Fine Podcast, check that out if you're into Twin Peaks, and thanks everybody who's checked that out already and all the kind words. But if you need even more podcasts in your world, we got you covered. Go to ifanboy.com or look lower in your feed, and you can find the podcast for Batman, The Return of the Caped Crusader, where I finally got the call to join the Animation Brain Trust. Very exciting. I joined you, Connor, as long as our good buddy Ryan Haupt, to talk about the Adam West, Burt Ward era Batman 66 cartoon movie that came out, which was a ton of fun.
Right.
Also, me and Mike Romo did a podcast all about Doctor Strange, the last superhero movie of 2016, and not the last movie podcast, though, and we got more coming up, and I'll let you explain that, Connor.
All right, so this is the time of year after Thanksgiving, from now until the end of the year, where we are entering the holiday schedule time for iFanboy, and things get a little bit different. If you're a new listener, this will be new information to you. If you're an old listener, it's pretty much the same as before. Here is the schedule between now and the end of the year. So we have one more patron-inspired Booksplode coming out this week, which is the last week of November, in November's show. Then they have a December Talksplode coming out. It'll be early December, probably the second or third week of December. You'll get your last two patron shows of the year. And then, so we have pick of the week shows. So this is 563. 564 will be next December 4th, next Sunday. And then the week after that, POW 565, December 11th. That is the last pick of the week show of the year. So December 7th will be the last pick of the week show of the year. Pick of the week 566 will be on January 8th. That'll be the return of the pick of the week. So between December 11th and January 8th, there'll be no pick of the week shows, but there'll be two podcasts. The annual 2016 All Media Year and Spectacular will be December 18th. That's when Josh and Ron and I spend 2 to 3 hours talking about all the things we loved throughout the year that don't have to do with comics. And there's also a little bit of comics talk in there, but that's our annual tradition.
I can't wait for this. I'm already making my list. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so that'll come out December 18th. And then a couple days later, on December 21st, we're going to have the Rogue One, A Star Wars Story special edition podcast. So that is all of the podcasts for the rest of the year. Booksplode, a Talksplode, two more Pick of the Weeks, an all-media show, and a Rogue One show. And then boom, we're done. And then we come back January 8th. For the Pick of the Week podcast, so that is all that is all that's coming out.
Well, though you say like that's all that's coming. That's still a lot of podcasts.
No, it's
there,
a lot. It's a lot of shows. It's six shows between now and the New Year's Eve.
Right.
And then we come back. I'm just saying.
We deserve a little break, and we'll take it, and we'll thank everybody for giving us that. But and in return, we'll give you some great podcasts to listen to over the holidays. So there you go.
So you can look forward to all those shows, and we'll be reiterating this schedule for the next couple of weeks. But this should cover all your questions about what's happening for the rest of the year.
So hopefully everyone stayed and still listened to this. So.
Yes. When is the Star Wars show coming out?
Let me know, please. I need to know. Even the dog needs to know. All right, so head over to ifanboy.com where you can comment on this episode. You can talk about this week's books, what you thought about them, and you can find all those other podcasts that we talk about. There are posts there for every show. You can check them all out there. You can follow us at facebook.com/ifanboy or at ifanboy on Twitter, and you can follow us individually. I'm at RonXO, Connor's at CS Kilpatrick, and Josh is at JA Flanagan. And the dog is not on Twitter.
Oh, I was going to ask, what does the dog sound like?
The dog totally was looking away and then turned its head over to me when I said the dog is not on Twitter. So, no, you're not on Twitter.
And if you like the show, you can write us a review on iTunes. That's one of the best ways to help. If you don't feel like supporting the show in other ways, you can always just spend a couple seconds. You don't even have to write a review. Just give us a star rating. That's how people find podcasts. The more ratings, the more star reviews, the better. And even better than that is tell your friends about us. I'm sure you spent your Thanksgiving, instead of arguing about politics, talking about podcasts like we told you to. And we thank you for that.
Hopefully.
Introduce your mom to the podcast. I'm sure your mom would love to hear about why Ron is so upset about Cyclops.
So mad. I'm
sure she needs that in her life.
Yeah. I can talk to her directly if you want to give her my number.
Did you bring that up at your Thanksgiving meal?
No, nobody cares.
What are we thankful for? I'll tell you what I'm not thankful for.
Exactly. Death of X.
And they went into a half an hour about the Inhumans and the X-Men, and then they all...
Yeah, they all just zoned out. Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening on the special Thanksgiving episode. I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving again.
Christmas time is here. We'll be drawn.